Yeah, so when I was looking up recordings for license-free music, that's where I found all this stuff. It's on one site.
Oh. Is that where Giant Bomb gets their stuff?
I have no idea. I just found this stuff somewhere.
Oh.
But like this thing, it's a 9-second loop, and it took me forever to like perfectly time it so that it loops without.
Oh, okay.
Like, here comes the loop.
Everyone can hear this?
That's where it was. Yeah.
What about the faster one again?
The Technies? This one?
Makes me feel like I'm playing some kind of video game.
I don't know. I kind of picture it like CNET or something.
I can't picture that, but I mean, just like, isn't there some chill out video game that's like this?
Like maybe old Amplitude or something.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Okay, that's our intro.
That's our intro. All right. So, are we going to do a full introduction then? Do you want to introduce yourself?
I didn't think about it.
All right, I'll go first. My name is Nathan. I am the showrunner for the Seattle Retro Gaming Expo. I also do Video Games Northwest, which at the moment is just a website. I host a video game trivia night. And I am sitting here with.
My name is Tina, and I'm none of those things. I just live here.
You're just amazing.
I'm Nathan's fiance and number one fan.
And we're here today just to kind of test out the podcast waters and see if this is something we want to keep doing.
Because I want to hear myself.
Yep, we can never get enough of Tina. So we're going to try this out. We're just going to do kind of the normal format that if you listen to podcasts about nerdy things, you're probably familiar. We're going to talk about things we've been playing, things we've been watching, in my case, things we've been reading. And
It's kind of loud. Is it just going to be like that?
It's I turned the volume up, but it should be the same for everybody. So here I can turn it down for us. Is that
Okay.
better?
Yeah, it was kind of loud.
Okay. So we're using an app on my phone. It's called Boss Jock. It works pretty well. It lets us throw in little music. So, for example, while we're talking, we can have this in the background if we really want to. But I don't think we need that.
I feel like I need a cocktail. Then I gotta go find you. What table is he at?
See, that's why I have these. They're designed to like evoke certain things. That's like this is like if I was doing an interview, maybe that would be the background. And if I was investigating a murder. I might have this as the background.
I feel like I've heard this before.
Yep. All right. So that's why those are there, but I don't think we need those. Not this time, anyways. So I don't know. We wrote down a list of a few things that we've been doing. So do you want to start off, sweetie?
Well, maybe you should talk about your first topic because I don't
Oh,
have any
yeah. Any books? Okay.
books.
Yeah, so
Oh, I don't read.
Well, technically, I don't either.
Oh, I don't listen to audiobooks.
I picked up a new audiobook.
I read Twitter.
Yeah.
That's reading, right?
Those are like really, really short
But
books.
they have links to articles.
I kind of like the idea of a Twitter book, 140 characters.
That's a really tiny book.
Yep. It's like
They
the
should be
shortest.
really tiny.
It's like the shortest story ever.
They
Did you
could
ever
be.
watch Enemy Mine?
You think so?
It's this 80s movie about a guy. There's like a big
Oh.
space war, and he crash lands on a planet by himself, and then an alien from the other side also crash lands, and of course they
Are there
start out
spoilers?
hating each other.
Well,
No, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's a
wasn't
detail.
one guy kind of look like a lizard or something?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a lizard. He's got scales and stuff.
Hmm.
And the other guy kind of looks like Kurt Russell. I don't remember who it is. I think it's somebody who's still around, still acting.
Oh my gosh, you're the worst.
But the reason I brought it up is because the lizard guy, he's religious. His whole race is religious, and their religion is entirely contained in this
It's
one little
Dennis
book.
Quaid.
Dennis Quaid, that's it. Yeah, the lizard's religion is contained entirely in this little book that he keeps hanging around his neck on a necklace, and that's a tiny book.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
So
now let's talk about the not tiny book. Speaking you're
of
reading.
Books, yeah, this book is the opposite of tiny. It's a Neal Stephenson book, his latest one called Seven Eves. And if you're familiar with Neal Stephenson, you probably know then that his books tend to run upwards of 800-900 pages. They're almost as thick as they are wide. And audiobook makes it a lot easier to read those books without having to carry them around. This one, Seven Eves, was clocked in around 31 hours. It's not the longest book of his I've read, but it was pretty substantial.
Who's reading it? Is it the same person that has read his other books?
I wish. No. My favorite narrator.
I hope that person is not listening.
Is Willem Dafries, and he is the guy who narrated Anathem, which is also my favorite Neal Stephenson book. He did a fantastic job of emoting. He read the lines properly. The interesting thing about Seven Eves is that, without going into too many spoilers, the book is basically set up to be two segments. There's kind of the events leading up to the game-changing event, and then the events afterwards. It's not really a spoiler to say what it is, but I'll just leave it to the listeners to find out what that is. But in the beginning, the first half of the book is narrated by a woman, and the second half of the book is narrated by a man. And that ties into the plot. But the woman actually kind of sucks, because she reads sentences without the proper inflection. You know, you can tell that the sentence was meant to be read a certain way, with a sarcastic tone or emphasizing a certain word. She doesn't really do that in every case. And it's very clear that certain lines had been re-recorded because they have different kind of levels of depth and volume. So it's not...
That's weird.
Yeah, it's actually it's a Brilliance audio recording, and it's one of their worst ones, in my opinion.
Wow.
But the book itself is really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
That's weird that they would do that for such a popular author, for his newest work.
Yeah, you know, Anathem had all of this work done around it. They even developed and released a short video, almost like a movie trailer. No, it wasn't for the narrator, but they did, in addition to some of the narration stuff, they had all of these famous people come in and read little snippets from this kind of dictionary in the book. Yeah.
Wow.
And they recorded a bunch of monks chanting, and the chants were based on mathematical algorithms.
So what happened? Are you going to write to the publisher?
I should.
Are you going to see him? Isn't he coming?
I'm going to see him on June 10th.
What the hell happened to your audiobook?
Neal Stephenson, why does your audiobook sound so terrible?
Wait, where is it?
Where is what?
You should tell everybody where he's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Or don't tell anybody.
I don't want to tell anybody, because I want to be able to, like, you know, sit down and have tea with
Neal.
He's
going to be in Tukwila at Costco?
He's going to be at the Barnes & Noble on June 10th up in Linwood, Washington. So if you're hearing this and you live in the area, don't go, because I want to ask all the questions. Stay home and then let me tell you about it on our next podcast. So anyways, the book is good.
You probably can't say too much about it, right? Because it's brand new.
Yeah, it's brand new. I will say it's worth a read, especially if you like other Neal Stephenson books. If you have a problem with Neal Stephenson's writing style, for example, he does not have very strong endings to books, and his descriptions can kind of go on and be a little detail-oriented, which I think is great, because he builds great worlds. But if you aren't into those things, then this book isn't going to change your mind.
So did he write Snowpiercer?
Snow Crash or Snowpiercer?
No, wait. What's the movie?
Snow Crash is the one that was written in, like, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s. He's credited for coining the term Avatar, I think, from that book.
So Snowpiercer is the movie.
Snowpiercer is, yeah, some other book. Yeah.
I've never read a Neal Stephenson book.
You should. I've got a bunch of books on the shelf.
Is that okay? Is that okay?
Yeah. So, yeah. That's good. That's the book I've been reading. Next up for me is Ready Player One, which is an Ernest Klein novel, and I'm really looking forward to that one.
You want me to read that one too, right?
You should, yeah.
Have you listened to it yet?
Mm-mm.
Are you going to listen to it or are you going to read it?
I'm going to listen to it. I don't think we own the book, do we?
I don't think so.
Maybe I can borrow it from someone.
I feel like I've heard that title a billion times now in the past.
You have. It's been out for a few years, and it got a lot of great reviews. It's like considered the first good video game book.
But it's a novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's fiction.
It's a book about a video game kind of set in the near future, sort of like World of Warcraft. That's about all I know.
Oh.
In fact, actually, Neal Stephenson also did a book about a World of Warcraft-like video game called RIMD, and I honestly never finished that book for whatever reason.
Huh.
Yep, so that's I think that's about all I have to say about 7E is that it doesn't go into spoilers. So this closes our book section.
Pun
with
intended.
Neither of us having read a word.
Pun not intended.
So let's see what's next. The big section we got, and this, I think this is the biggest thing for both of us, is the video games.
No, I think movies is bigger for me, funny enough, because I've actually seen more movies.
Oh, yeah. Then you have played games?
Well, I've only played like 2 games. I've right. seen you play this game. Okay. you talk about the games.
I can talk about the mobile games, since those are a little bit quicker.
You can talk about the other games, too.
Okay.
Is this like going to be a filler? Are you going to talk about stuff, some of the stuff that you would talk about on the normal SRG podcast?
I was going to talk about everything.
Are you going to record next weekend?
For SRGE or yeah. for, I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's a good idea.
We have to pin everybody down. Everyone's going to be like playing pinball yeah. stuff.
Yeah, so for people who don't know.
You have to pin everyone down.
For people who don't know me or SRGE, the Seattle Retro Gaming Expo has a large free play library. We've got about 25, 28 systems, ranging from Atari to PlayStation and Dreamcast. And next weekend, the June 5th through the 7th, I think, we're going to be in Tacoma at the Northwest Pinball and Arcade Show showcasing a bunch of those games. So they'll be free to play. If you plan on attending, please stop and say hi.
Maybe you shouldn't talk about these other games.
But so typically we try to record a podcast. You know what? The last show, we didn't actually record a podcast. I'm kind of wondering if we're going to do that.
Yeah, especially if you're gonna have a room, not just... You had a booth and a room last time.
Yeah.
well then anyway, talk about whatever.
I'll just skim these things because there's really only 2 games that aren't iPhone games, anyways. Alto is a snowboarding endless runner that just looks beautiful. It's got this great kind of stylized look to it. It's 2.5D and it's really beautiful. It's fun to play.
What is it on?
It's on iOS. Probably Android too. Yeah, I can show it to you later. I think I might have shown it to you for a second. Mm. The next game is called Framed. I believe it was like a commission from like an arts group or something. They thank some local arts group. It is a comic book style where you can rearrange the panels to affect the outcome. So there's a bunch of kind of secret agents that are trying to escape from the police with this cool kind of film noir jazzy soundtrack running in the background, and you change the order of things that happen in order to help them get past all the security. So that's really fun. I recommend
and
that one.
And how did you hear about that game?
I don't know.
Because the character was in...
Oh, yeah. I heard about the game before that, but there's also a new update for Crossy Road, which is... I've been playing that pretty much.
It's pretty cool how they are collaborating with other independent, or maybe not, I don't even know who they all
yeah,
are, but
they're,
like,
they're mostly indie game
developers.
To have
characters in their game, it's mm-hmm. pretty cool. Like the Disco Elephant.
Disco Zoo.
Yeah.
And there's a robot in there from some game that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
The Forget Me Not is from a game.
Yeah.
And Archie's in there now.
Yeah.
Anyways, the guy from Framed is also one of the characters now that's available in Crossy Road, which is tons of fun. In that vein of games that have had a lot of attention in the media, in the games media, the other game that I've come back to playing is Desert Golfing, because I recently listened to the Giant Bomb podcast, and they were talking, one of the guy's fans wrote in to talk about Desert Golfing, saying that he had gotten to hole 4,700 something, and he basically reached an impossible hole. He couldn't beat it. There was just no way. And apparently that's a thing that happens to everybody eventually. So now I want to get to hole 4,000. I'm actually on like hole 2,800 or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you get to hole 4,000 something, I mean, you just continue and you keep going. I mean,
what it does is it randomly generates a landscape, and then you are shooting a golf ball, but basically you're doing kind of an Angry Bird style pull and release to shoot the ball towards the hole.
Yeah.
And there's the occasional hazard like water or something, but apparently the geography changes in such a way that it's impossible to get around it without.
Well, what I mean is, like, you're at hole 2000 whatever, so the next time you play is going to be 2000 and whatever plus one.
Yeah.
And then, so you have to play 2000 more games to get to this?
I have to beat 2000 more holes.
But so, it continues.
Yeah, so the game is, it. There's no menu, there's no reset option. You can't start a new game, it's just you start at hole one and you go. You never lose, you never reset.
Oh.
Just every time you
open. So when you open it up, you're going to be at 2,000 whatever.
Yeah. If I stop at level 50 and open it up 3 years later, I'll still be at hole 50.
Huh. You know, Giant Bomb is how we found out about Crossy Road.
Mm-hmm. And desert golfing, I think.
Oh. Okay. I don't remember because I don't think I listened to all of the Game of the Year podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember they're debating, like, because Crossy Road's really good, but they're like, you can't call it like a, you know, top 10 game of the year. It's just this game. But then after we started playing it, I was like, this is the best game ever. It's the best game of the decade. It's the best game, whatever. And now I'm not playing anymore. But I will play it again. I'll get back into it.
Yep. It's really fun. Part of the appeal of Crossy Road to me is the charm of the characters.
Like,
they're just so funny and watching them get squashed.
Well, especially in these special things, they really do make it interesting, like the noir guy. It's like the jazzy music in the background, right, or whatever, and like the disco zoo. They change, or
the squirrel,
or like the UK characters. They have different environments or different. They do something different, or like the Christmas chicken. Even it's like different.
Yeah, so, I really like the squirrel.
Someday I'm gonna get Michael Boom. That was like the most awesome thing I've ever seen.
I know.
But every time I see something new in there, it's like the most awesome thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I'm excited because the guys who made Crossy Road are making a new Pac-Man game, which is another Endless Runner, and I think it looks great.
Of course I'll try it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't, when I saw the video, it didn't look great.
Hmm. All right.
But,
well, I encourage everybody to go and find that video and watch it.
What's it called?
I don't remember. I think it's just Pac-Man. Oh, it's Pac-Man 256. Because it's based on the glitch at the 256 level.
Spoiler.
Of the original game. It's in the trailer. Jeez.
Can we talk about, really quick, can we talk about how good or bad we think Pixels is going to be?
Oh, man. I don't know if I want to give that movie any more attention.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Well, let's move on.
Yep. I don't think it'll be good. I'll say that.
I don't think so.
I'll probably see it in the theater anyways.
I don't know. Well, that's because you have a movie pass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely see it in
movie
the theater.
Movie pass. I can't do that. We'll get in trouble. We'll get in trouble. Brian from Movie Cat will get mad at us because we're singing. Movie Cat. Oh, yeah.
So I think that's all the iPhone, iOS, mobile games.
No.
What? What's the other one?
What do you think? Do we have to pay if I turn it on?
Oh, yeah.
Do we have to pay?
No, I don't think so. It's commentary.
Wait, it's not. Oh my gosh, look how many cats I have.
That's so many cats. All right. If you haven't heard that music before, that is Neko Atsumi. It's a Japanese game. It's entirely in Japanese, but it's available in the U.S. App Store, so you can get it. If you do want to pick it up, go to the App Store. I think it's free, right? It's free.
Yeah.
Go to the App Store, and when you search, just search for Neko, N-E-K-O, and nothing else, and it'll be the first result. If you try to search for the full name, Neko Atsume, you get a bunch of clones and fakers.
Fakers.
Yeah, so it's not even really a game. I will tell you that you
said
should...
it's not a game, but I think it's a game.
Well, it's as much a game as Star Wars trading card game. Anyways...
Is solitaire a game?
Yeah, kind of.
Uh-huh.
If you do want to get it, I say stick with it. Maybe look up a little tutorial, but try not to look up too much information because there's a lot of cool hidden cats and tricks for getting them and things you can learn just by playing the game. But when I first showed it to Tina, she downloaded it, but she kind of never didn't play it. And then I didn't play it either until I spoke to Kinsey Burke, our PR director for SRGE, who had been playing it.
Our cat whisperer.
Yeah. And she gave us some tips on how to get started and how to start collecting fish and buying stuff. And the game became a lot more fun.
Yeah. And then I also, if you look up the game, if you Google it, one of the first things that'll pop up is a blog called... It's at welcometowonderland.wordpress.com. And they have, that person put up a really thorough article on how to play it. And then another article or blog post about every single cat and every single thing that they play with. And it's like super extensive. But the first one, how to play, I mean, it's, yeah, I think you kind of want to take a look through because yeah. It is really hard to play if you don't know any Japanese.
To me, the biggest factor in that was learning that I could give my cats name American names or English names. Because all the cats have Japanese names. And they're not very specific names. If you translate them, it's like white cat and black cat. But you can actually tap on their names and give them their own name in English. And that makes it a lot more fun.
Yep. I have Leafhead. And Turtle and Butterfinger.
Who I call Dirty Finger in my game.
And Earl Grey and Tiger Butt and Tiny. And then everyone, probably shouldn't give it away, so yeah. I won't talk about
My favorite thing about this game is sharing the names of cats, because every game has the same cats, so it's fun to see what you have named. Your cat and what
did
somebody Kinsey else has named your cat.
Did Kinsey rename all of hers in English?
I don't remember if she did or not. I think she kept some of them in Japanese.
I'll have to say, the appeal of the game... Now, a friend of mine said that when you start out, it's kind of stressful when you realize what you do have these goals. But overall, it's kind of relaxing to just check on your cats and see who's shown up and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so cute. So, for a while, I was really stressed out at work, and I would take a peek at them, and I would feel better.
And the game lets you, it has, like, a built-in camera function, so whenever a cat is using a particular toy or doing a certain thing, you can take a picture.
And you can take a picture of the scene, mm-hmm. and if you happen to have a larger area, you'll do a little panorama.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And it's free, but you can pay for your currency, which is fish. Yep, and yep. I did spend $3.99 twice. And to me, it was totally worth it because I've been playing this game for like weeks.
Yeah, it's totally worth it.
But Nate did it slow and steady. He paid 99 cents for whatever fish.
Just to test it out.
And I was like, forget it. I want... Give me $9, no, $8 worth of fish.
Yep, and I just recently was able to upgrade to the first of, four levels? Four areas that you
no,
can...
No, there's a one expansion and then three skins.
Three separate areas?
They're skins. They're not, it's not more area or less area, it's just different area.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it looks different.
Yeah. All right. You got any more Nekoatsumi talk?
Love it.
All right.
Oh, there's going to be a coffee table book or something in Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are we going to get it?
I have no idea how to get stuff from Japan.
Mm. Well, we can ask Kelsey.
I would say not.
You know what? We should just have Miki bring it home.
I don't think it's out yet.
Oh.
I'm sure it's expensive. It's probably going to sell out, you know?
Yeah. All right, two more game things.
But we should ask Kelsey to have Miki bring back Kit Kats.
All right, well, maybe Kelsey will hear this. Kelsey,
if you hear this, I found those the Kit Kats that you bake.
Oh, yeah, we have to eat those
still,
don't we?
No, I'm on a diet, so we can't eat them until later.
I'll eat them secretly while you're gone.
No!
And then buy more.
You're not going to find them.
I won't.
They're special. Anyways.
Anyways, the other two games that I wanted to talk about were Ori and the Blind Forest and Child of Light. The only thing I have to say about Ori and the Blind Forest is that it's an amazing game, game of the year. I love it. And I'm working on kind of some speedrun elements. I work for the Xbox team at Microsoft. And in the next week or two, I'm going to get on one of their live streams on Twitch and show off some of the techniques that people use to do their speedruns at Ori and the Blind Forest. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Oh, that's why you've been playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other game I was playing is Child of Light. So Ori and the Blind Forest is a Metroidvania, and that game kind of reignited my love of Metroidvanias. And Child of Light is sort of like a Metroidvania, but with turn-based RPG elements. So you move around in a world that has kind of the branching path system with areas that you can't reach until you obtain certain powers. And there are enemies around the screen, except that when you touch an enemy in this game, it switches to a turn-based fighting system. And the turn-based fighting system is kind of interesting because you have an active element. There's a little firefly that you can move around to stun enemies or to slow down their meters as they build up to having the ability to take an action. There's interrupts, so there's casting time. If you are preparing an attack, there's a short casting time, and if an enemy hits you while you're in that casting period, then you get interrupted and you lose your turn. So it's a very very active fighting game despite being turn-based, and it just has a really cool watercolored art style that I'm really enjoying. So those are the two games I wanted to talk about. Moving on to movies.
Movies.
Yep. Or did you want to talk about your topic?
What topic? Oh. Well, I mean, movies would make sense next, right? Or should I just inject a little?
Yeah, I think we can break it up a little.
Yeah.
With pretty much the opposite of playing video games and watching movies.
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of the opposite, but kind of not. I guess it's like, So I've been taking these classes at a new gym, newish gym in our area, and it's called TRX, and I was looking it up because I don't know what it stands for, and I don't see it here, but it is a, like a actual method, of training. It's called suspension training.
So it's
body weight exercises.
Like, yeah, it's using your own body weight to create resistance, right?
Yeah, and the method is by having these. They're not elastic. They don't stretch. They're just these straps, and they hang from a bar or a ceiling, and you can adjust them, and you hold on to them while you're doing these exercises to basically use your weight as resistance. So you can do lunges, you can do push-ups, do all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to have a bunch of weights. And it's just...
And I think the best analogy that I could come up with to kind of picture it in my head is...
Have you even seen it?
I've seen the pictures that you showed me.
Oh, okay.
And people doing... I've seen, like, videos... But it's kind of like, for people who can't see us right now, I picture the hanging bars, the little rings tied to a rope you see at the playground, where you can hang from those rings, and then, you know, it's kind of a strength exercise to lift yourself up with those. This is sort of that principle.
Yeah, but kind of flipped around. So imagine the ropes being long, and you're holding it, and then, like, you do... like an incline kind of push up with your hands in the rings, or you're leaning backwards and you're pulling yourself up.
You're pulling your own body weight up.
At an incline. So just a lot of things you can do. And according to this, it was born in the Navy SEALs. The inventor was a SEAL and needed a method to do the workouts and to keep in shape. And I guess they had like karate belts or something and mm-hmm. created this system. So it's good for me because I can't do, I can do weights, but I don't know, there's something, the way that you're using your body and not having a whole lot of impact. I can't have a lot of like impact, jumping, jarring.
Yeah, so it's very low impact and there's a lot of stretching, right?
Yeah. So overall for me, I've just been out of shape and inactive for so long. But I was active, you know, a long time ago. So it's just like, just allowed me to kind of ease into a workout program. And it's a class setting. So, you know, you have classmates and you're all there working out. So it's not just one-on-one with the trainer, which can be expensive. And again, doesn't have to have a lot of weights. It's just these straps.
Yeah, and it has the benefit where if you have the straps, you can do it in a hotel room or you can do it in your apartment.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You need to have the right space, but it's a lot easier to find that space than, say, having a whole free weight set.
Yeah, but I don't think, like, that's not official. The mobile one?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's not part of this official program. I didn't mention to my teacher. I mean, had those straps.
Well, hopefully he won't hear this.
But so. In any case, right. Yeah.
So you're going to update us on TRX?
Well, what I'll say podcast? Is, because I probably didn't describe it very well, if you're interested in like a low impact, but a really great workout, you can look it up online. There's lots of videos on YouTube, and just to get an idea. I mean, I've never heard of it before until my friend told me about this place. And this place has CrossFit classes, TRX classes, Zumba classes. So it's all classes. There's no actual machines. It's not like a gym with a whole bunch of free weights.
Specialized equipment or anything.
Yeah, it's basically classes. So this is one of the classes, and it was brand new to me and really unique, but it's perfect for what I needed, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I look forward to hearing more next time to see how it's going. Because you've been doing it for, a month now? A month and a half, maybe?
Well, I started in late February, but then I was gone in April. Mm-hmm. So, feels like it hasn't been long, but I guess it has been.
Yeah, I guess so.
My instructor is always like, why can't you remember anything? I'm always like, what was that? What was that move again? He's like, really? Seriously? I just say I have a bad memory, which is also true. Yep. I lose count when I'm working out, too.
I feel like when I'm counting in my head, I feel like I always forget the 8. So I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19, 20. And I always feel like I'm doing it, and then I'm like, did I
Well, at least you only skipped 1. Totally forget where I am, and I could have like skipped 10. I don't know. Anyways, this was probably like not a very interesting segment.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me. I mean, you've talked about this before, but it's kind of neat to hear it all summarized. All right, well, let's move to the more interesting stuff then. This is going to be the last segment, right? I think there's anything else? Unless you wanted to talk about podcasts.
Okay.
You want to do what we've been listening to?
Yeah.
Segment? Okay. Honestly, my podcast listing habits haven't changed all that much. The only thing I've added is probably the same stuff you've added in the last couple of weeks. But so what I've been listing, I'm just going to say the thing that I listen to the most frequently, which is the Giant Bombcast. It was one of my favorite podcasts now. I'd say it's still in the top 5. But they've changed their hosts lately, and I'm not sure if I'm as on board as I used to be.
What are the other podcasts you listen to?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot.
Shout out.
I also listen to Freakonomics podcast.
Top 5.
Huh? I don't know if I could say what my top 5 are. I'd have to think about it. But Planet Money is definitely up there. I recently started listening to 99% Invisible. This American Life.
What's 99% Invisible? I never heard of that.
It's a guy, his name is Rowan Mars. He produces these weekly podcasts. They're pretty short. They're usually about 15 to 30 minutes. And they talk about, he calls it, the hidden side, I think, of everything. Maybe I'm getting that mixed up with Freakonomics. Anyways, it's like how buildings get designed or
why, the secret life of whatever.
Yeah, why a thing is designed the way it is. It's usually focused on the design elements of a particular thing as opposed to like the operations or you know, politics or anything like that. But it's really interesting. I like it a lot. Yeah, that's all I'm going to talk about. I'll leave the rest for you.
Okay. So I've been listening to the same couple of podcasts, and my tastes have kind of changed. But the ones that I'm still listening to, well, like, will load on the dot and listen to more than once is 8-4 Play out of Japan, because I've never been in Japan, and I'm not like a huge Japanese culture person.
Japanophile.
Japanophile. But I just like hearing their perspective of their life there and games, and they just have a different perspective because they're a different part of the industry, localization, right?
Yeah, and they're mostly former game journalists. Yeah. So it's run by Mark McDonald, who was with EGM for years and years. So it's, I listened to his podcast, and I think you did too, right? Back when he was on EGM? No?
No.
Okay. I did, and so now it's interesting to hear him be in a completely different environment with different experiences. That's one of the draws for me.
But it's funny because they talk about all kinds of different things. So it really is like a slice of life in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, their lives in their industry, but then also their other interests and things like that. So,
okay.
then the other one is Weekly Planet, which I love, which is two guys in Australia talking about comic books and movies and comic book movies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Mr. Sunday Movies, and he has his YouTube channel, which is really popular. And then they're affiliated with, or part of, or he's an editor at comicbookmovie.com.
I think so. Yeah.
But I just like listening to them because they have Australian accents.
Yeah, they're really upbeat.
They're really funny.
So it's,
they're really positive. I mean, yeah, they're funny. They're positive, and they talk about, because my like nerd realm circumference is like, I mean, it's not, I'm sort of like on the periphery of things, and I get things like through osmosis by being with you.
The way that I kind of see it is like, when you like something, you get really into it and you want to dig deep into it to learn a lot as much as you can for about that one particular thing. And nerdy topics like comic books and video games let you do that really easily and really thoroughly. Mm. Like if you were to try and dig into The Bachelor or something, you can't go very far. Like, you can basically like read the backstories of characters or whatever, or I mean the people on TV, but that's it. Mm-hmm. But comic books, you know, that's a rabbit hole that extends forever.
Well, yeah, and now, I mean, just with all of the TV, the movies, the comics, mm-hmm. just how everything is now in part of mainstream pop culture. Like, I haven't watched any of the comic book related TV shows, but they have watched most, some, all, whatever, and so they talk about, you know, everything.
Oh man, yeah.
So then that's how I get my information, and they talk about all kinds of things.
Yeah,
so
they're incredibly knowledgeable. The Mr. Sunday YouTube channel, their biggest feature are like seven Easter eggs about the Avengers, or you know, five things you might have missed in Batman.
They're just so funny, and it is, again, it's interesting because they are in Australia, so you do get this sense of, you know, what just the humor, or you know, whatever their focus is or whatever their topics are, the way they talk about it. It is different because they're from, you know, somewhere else in the world, so it's just fun.
It's cool. I like it.
Yeah. And then the newest one I have is Nom Nom Paleo, is Michelle Tam and Henry Fong, and their two sons. Michelle Tam is the author of Nom Nom Paleo, and she and her husband both created the Nom Nom Paleo blog first, and app, and it's award-winning. And so it's based on paleo lifestyle, paleo cooking. And they just started their podcast maybe like 5 episodes ago or something, mm-hmm. one a week. And they're just really interesting and fun and funny. And their kids are involved. And they just talk about, I feel like she was picking up my brainwaves, because the last episode was about what to bring to a potluck if you're paleo. Well, I'm not paleo, but I am on a certain eating plan right now. And then, and just in general, you know, these ideas of what to cook, what to, you know, bring. I mean, mm-hmm. the basis of paleo is to eat like whole foods, nutritious, healthy foods. And so it's like, well, what do you bring to a potluck? What do you eat when you're there? What about if you don't have those choices and things like that? And then the next episode was about traveling when you're paleo. And I'm going to be traveling next month. And so it's just like these little tips. I'm like, my gosh.
So there was the potluck episode, and then you went to a potluck. And now there's the travel episode.
Yeah.
And now you're traveling.
I'm going to go travel. So anyways, yeah, that's really good. I mean, they just started, and I think it's an excellent podcast.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want to talk about any more? Should we save them for next time?
That's all I had.
Okay. All right. Let's get into the actual final segment.
How long have we been recording?
Oh. Yeah. I think we could get another 10 minutes or so. So the last segment is...
10 minutes about all these movies?
Okay. Well, I mean, we could talk about them for an hour if we wanted to, but...
Probably.
Well, I'm going to try
just going to be us listening to this.
I'm
going to
try and hit the hour mark. That's up to us. We should, if we're gonna put it somewhere.
Forever.
So we got movies. Movies we've seen. I've got three. What do you have?
I've got those two plus one more.
Plus one more. Okay. So I've got
three.
So there's two that we've both seen, and then there's a movie that I've seen and a movie that you've seen.
Uh-huh.
So let's talk about the ones we've seen together first.
Okay. Is there much to say about?
Well,
seems like the whole world has talked about it.
Yeah, Mad Max, maybe we don't... I don't think there's a whole lot we can bring to the table there.
Well, I can say something is like... And I felt kind of dumb because the first time I watched it, I was like, I don't think I really like this movie until a certain point, and then it all came together, which was a certain point later in the movie. And I felt kind of silly saying, because everybody else was like, this is the best thing ever. But the second time I saw it, from the very first second till the end, I was like, this is amazing. So I think, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, and we saw it twice together, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the first time we saw it at an RPX screen, which is the Regal branded kind of IMAX experience. It's a larger...
It was cool.
Screen. It was really cool, except they had their bass turned up so loud
that
it was like causing their projector to jitter around at the really heavy scenes.
Yeah, which I guess you could call it like 4D, right?
I guess. I'd rather have somebody spraying water in my face.
it was so clear and such a big screen. And the sound was so good. I was really impressed. I had never even heard of RPX.
It's, It's just like the IMAX screens that they have around that aren't really IMAX, but they're IMAX branded.
But then the second time we watched it in 3D.
Yep.
And I just call it like when I can't tell it's 3D, I believe that means it's good 3D.
It's good 3D because you forget about it, yeah.
I have quotes, I believe, quote unquote. Or if you took out the Lego movie, see my claw hands.
Yep. It was good in 3D. I liked it a lot.
Oh, we should just have a podcast about
the Lego movie.
An episode about the Lego movie.
Oh man, yeah, we got so much. We
just
did
commentary. We just.
I liked the 3D in Mad Max. It did. I don't think it brought a whole lot to the movie. Like you said, it was good in that I kind of forgot about the fact that it was in 3D. Except for the occasional gratuitous 3D moment.
I think I told someone who had not yet seen it after like the first week or something. I think I said it doesn't have to be 3D. You just have to have a big screen, clear and great sound. It'll be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, that's it for Memnex. And like I said, we don't have a lot to add to that conversation.
Except that we thought it was amazing.
Except we thought it was good, yeah.
Okay.
The other movie that we saw together was Ex Machina.
Which was before Mad Max.
Yeah, this was way before Mad Max. The first time I saw it was with...
Wait, you saw it twice? Oh, yeah.
I saw it with Nancy. Yeah. It was a preview.
Okay.
That we saw, and I loved it. I fell in love with it. Where I thought it was really good. The first time?
Yeah.
At Pacific Place.
Okay.
And then the second time I saw it with you.
Bella Bottega?
At Bella Bottega.
Which screen was better?
In Redmond.
Same.
No, Pacific Place has really nice screens.
Okay.
Yeah. For people who live here in Seattle.
who do you think? Right now, it's just you and me. Like, I don't know who else.
I think I saw it a third time.
No, you did you?
I was gonna. Maybe I did. I was going to write a big article about it, about how, because I had also read an article about artificial intelligence, and I have a bunch of notes and quotes and stuff.
Actually, I don't want to watch it again. No spoilers.
I should really get into that. Maybe if this podcast continues, I'll just have like a spoiler cast about Ex Machina, and I can spout out my whole theory then. Yeah. All right.
What do you mean, if it continues?
Well, you know, if you listen to this and decide you like it, and we put it out.
I don't care if people like it. We're just going to do it again. Oh, you mean if I like it?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Okay. All right. So I guess there'll be a spoiler cast coming up.
Sorry, listeners. I wasn't being disparaging of you, but I'm going to do this again. Yeah. Oh, but I will say it was kind of... I'm going to assume that more people saw Mad Max, right? And my reaction was, my God, that was mind-blowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same reaction I had after Ex Machina. I was like, holy shit, that was like the craziest thing. But on a totally different scale, but it was, I felt like my mind was as blown.
Hmm. All right, that's good. I knew you liked it. I didn't know you liked it that much.
I didn't say I liked it. I said my mind was blown.
All right.
I liked it.
I'll take that. It was good. I recommend it, especially if you like sci-fi, like thinking sci-fi type, because it's very, there's not a whole lot of action, there's not a whole lot of special effects, but it's just a good movie.
Both were very thoughtful and thought-provoking and beautiful in their own way. I mean, visually, right?
Yeah.
Cinematography.
Yeah. Less thought-provoking, but also beautiful is Tomorrowland, which I saw this week.
Was it beautiful?
It looked really nice, yeah.
Oh, you do need to do a spoiler cast because I haven't seen it and I want to hear.
You want to hear what I have to say about it?
One will be just pretty much spoiling all the movies.
Yeah. Well, you know, we should just do separate small, like a mini episode or something.
Yeah.
Like 10 minutes about Tomorrowland. I'll say that I did like it.
Or you could do 40 minutes and then say the first 10 minutes about Tomorrowland. Okay. The next 10 minutes.
All right.
Okay, sorry.
I did enjoy it. I thought it was good. It looked pretty. And I recommend it if you are an optimist or generally positive person. If you're a pessimist, you're probably going to hate it. Also, if you don't like Damon Lindelof, you're going to hate it.
Oh, gosh, that's...
People, you know, I defended that guy for a long time. I really liked Prometheus, but, I don't know if I can defend him very much longer.
You know,
I did the same thing with Shyamalan.
You know the person in my TRX class that saw Ex Machina? It was a different conversation where I forgot we were talking about Lindelof or Lost. And I said, oh, yeah, I was kind of apologizing for you. I was like, oh, yeah, my fiance loved the end. He's like, I thought it was great. I didn't have a problem. It was like the best. I don't care what people say. And I was like, oh.
Yay, good.
Yay.
Another true believer.
Sorry, okay, go ahead.
Yep. Okay.
I didn't know he was the writer.
Yeah, yeah. He wrote it, and Brad Bird directed it, which is another reason why I wanted to see it. You know, Brad Bird did all the Pixar movies, not all of them, but he did, like, The Incredibles. He directed those, and he directed Mission Impossible Wall-E? 4.
Did he do Wall-E? Or no?
I don't remember if he did Wall-E, honestly. I think...
Did he do Cars?
I think he did... He did The Incredibles. That's the one I know for sure.
Ah, right. Yes, I'm glad you saved my
Incredibles. Oh, no, sorry. Hit the wrong button.
That's why people don't look things up on podcasts.
Well, these guys didn't look it up because they were in one of the guys' mom's parents' house where they had no reception. They're like, Now people will know how much we look stuff up because we keep talking about we can't look stuff up.
All right. Well, while you're looking that up. Oh, no, I can't. I'm done talking about Tomorrowland. You need to talk about your movie.
Oh, well, I mean.
Pitch.
Oh, we did Ratatouille. Okay, so Brad Bird. Are we talking about directing. As director or
directing,
writer?
Directing, yeah.
Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm. Mission Impossible, Ghost Four. Protocol.
Right, which was great.
Ratatouille. The Incredibles, mm-hmm. Iron Giant, two episodes of The Simpsons.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Disney Easter eggs in there. There's an Iron Giant nod in the movie.
Spoiler.
I won't say where and when, but there's a scene that is filled to the brim with nods to other sci-fi.
Oh.
Not just Disney, just tons and tons of sci-fi stuff. So be ready for that if that's your thing. Okay, talk about Pitch Perfect 2.
Well, Pitch Perfect... I guess there's too much to say, actually. Because I didn't see... I haven't seen Pitch Perfect 1 from start to finish. I've seen parts of it here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So I really should watch it. But I went to go see it with a friend who wanted to see it this particular weekend. And so... watched it and it was really funny. It was raunchier than I expected, and I think maybe one character, it was almost a little too gratuitous in terms of their humor, the jokes, the things that they actually said, their dialogue. But overall, it was pretty funny.
Which character?
It's one of the announcers. So Elizabeth Banks is the director and I think writer. And one of the announcers, and then there's the dude, and the dude was saying all this crap. Okay. But yeah, it was good.
Did you see the first one?
I just said I hadn't seen the first one.
Oh, sorry.
Oh my gosh, this is just like real life. Now it's recorded.
Yeah.
No, I gotta watch the first one from start to finish.
Okay. Yeah, because...
Wait, have you seen the first one?
I haven't seen either one, but I listened to a podcast that talked about it. Oh. And they said that it was kind of a situation of if you like the first one, you'll like the second one.
Yeah. I think I asked somebody else. I like, did you like it better or worse? And they're like, well, it's more of the same, which was good. So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, maybe we'll watch the first one.
Maybe.
Together. And we can ask... our friend.
Who?
The person we watch movies with.
Oh, Nancy?
Oh, I thought you were going to say her name.
I already said her name earlier.
Oh, okay. Well, so it could be a musical, it could be a musically themed movie evening because we need to watch, so we watch Pitch Perfect.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
And what's the other movie that we need to watch that you've never seen before?
We need to watch The Sound of Music because I've never
seen
it.
Okay, listeners.
Now, to be fair.
He's never seen The Sound of Music.
Many, many people now have not seen The Sound of Music. I'm not alone in that.
Well, yeah, because there's a lot of people that have been born since.
Exactly. I'm one of them.
Yeah, but, you know, you're not in the age range where you'd be like, oh, I've never heard of it or never saw it or whatever.
I've heard of it. I just haven't seen it. Anyways, we'll see
it. I'm not making fun of you.
And then we'll do a spoiler cast.
You don't have to do a spoiler cast for
The
Sound of Music.
We'll do a spoiler cast for Sound of Music. Did the Nazis get them? I don't know. I wouldn't want to be spoiled on that.
You know, they did, like, a live remake thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, they did Peter Pan, they did The Sound of Music.
Which I also missed.
First.
All right. Any other movies? Any other games? Anything else we want to talk about in our inaugural podcast?
This is fun.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So, is that a no? There are no other...
Oh, the other stuff?
I think that's it. I mean, there's other things we could talk about, but we're almost at an hour. So,
well, there's other... Always... You would think... You would hope there's always other things for us to talk about. Because
there's always something for us to talk about.
Because we are partners in life.
Like...
God, that look.
I was thinking, like, we could watch Star Wars in the machete order and do a podcast about that.
Oh, my gosh. Are you trying to
ensure
that this podcast doesn't
after
continue?
After we both read Ready Player One, we could talk about that.
Something like that, but not watching Star Wars movies in machete order. Are you kidding?
Yeah, we totally should
do that. No, you can find someone else to do that, and that'll be a different podcast.
Oh, I'm gonna.
Wait, do we have a name for this podcast?
It's gonna be This Podcast.
Is that the name of the podcast?
Yeah, it's going to be this,
this
podcast.
This podcast. We have to think of a name, right? If we think of a name, can you just kick me off of an episode and do
Star I don't see Wars why not, machete? Yeah. And what? you can kick me off and you can do a...
Oh.
I guess you can do an Advocare podcast. Or whatever podcast you want. Right?
I'm not talking to you anymore.
We're gonna figure this out.
But do we have a name?
We don't.
Next time.
Yep. Next time.
Stay tuned.
Yep. Oh, our first podcast ends on a cliffhanger. All right. Well, I don't think we need any outro music, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.